Hey, it's Aaron Foley, your host of Sports Without Balls, and I'm here to tell you about this awesome company called Parachute. Parachute is an online betting brand based in Venice Beach. Listen, as we all know, great sleep starts with your sheets. And Parachute has created a line of everyday bedding essentials, from sheets to duvet comforters to give you superior sleep. Their bedding is made of 100% long staple Egyptian cotton, manufactured in a mill in Tuscany that's been weaving bedding for nearly 80 years and now shipped to your door. I've been sleeping on them for about 3 weeks and it's heaven. I could barely wake up to share the news. Also, it's really cool when a company gives back in a big way. Parachute partners with the United Nations Foundation's Nothing But Nets campaign, which delivers life-saving malaria prevention bed nets to those in need. I'm telling you, this is a company to get behind and under. Get it? It's sheets. So do this. Go to parachutehome.com/balls. Use the promo code BALLS, and Parachute will give you $25 off your first order. I mean, that's a lot of cash. I couldn't be happier with my new Feel Good sheet set, and I want to pass off the comfort and savings to you because I'm an angel. ParachuteHome.com/balls, $25 off your first order. The sheets are amazing. Do it now.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on this beautiful Saturday afternoon in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, for a live taping of Sports Without Balls live at the Arch City Comedy Festival. Here is your lovely, talented, and battling through a sports injury host, Aaron Foley, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Not going to lie, my back, suffering through a little bit of a back injury. I took a little run in Columbus about an hour ago. It's 750 degrees. And two people looked at me like I was a psychotic idiot. I was like, I'm just trying to drink more, and it's a comedy festival. It's like there's drinking, and then sometimes you have to perform. And I bent over like the old lady I am, apparently, and tweaked my back. It's fine. I've had like eight Aleve, and this is what happens when you play a lot of sports, and then you get a little bit older. I'm 86. Listen, Columbus, thank you guys so much for coming out. We got a live taping. It's going to be amazing. I am so obsessed with sports in Ohio. I'm about to scream OH. Oh, the enthusiasm in this crowd is amazing. Ohio is such a fantastic state of sports. I can't believe you guys are here. It's 52 hours to the OSU Virginia Tech game. Thank you for being in public. No one here is from Columbus, apparently. That would be the Ohio State football team. We also have breaking news, but we've got so much to discuss, so I'm going to bring up my fabulous guests. I have two ladies that are absolutely wonderful. They have the best energy, they're hilarious, and they know sports, which is, they're just actually just looked at me and said they didn't. But no, they do. It's going to be great. We have a fantastic comic. She has her own Comedy Central special. She's a local lady, even though we do tons of shows in L.A. because we live there. Please welcome the one and only Beth Stelling. High five.
You want me in the middle?
Sit in the middle. And we've got... I'm also going to be like, hey, how are you doing in like a minute?
Sure, I'll be ready for that question.
Our second guest, I love this lady. I worked with her in Cincinnati last year. That's where she hails from. She's a fantastic comic. We've done a bunch of shows together. One of my personal favorites, Infectious Energy, Kelly Collette. Yes. And she's wearing a jersey, you guys. I know this is an audio podcast. Is there a visual one? I don't know. But you're wearing your Reds jersey.
I thought we were all going to do that, but this
I don't
my
own
gymnastics
one.
Leotard from third grade.
Oh, perfect.
So,
Beth Stelling is wearing a gymnastics leotard.
I still fit in it.
You know.
Speechless.
We already have so much to discuss, and that's gymnastics and the Cincinnati Reds. So this is gonna be one of my personal favorites.
This is so soft.
It is soft. We're
I'm on Molly. Did I say that? Okay.
Beth is already groping the table for people that are not here, which is most people in America. And I've got two locals, Sports Without Balls fans. We've got two locals. Let's just, you know, I'm doing this new thing. By the way, this is episode 101. 101. And for our 100th episode, I added some balls, you guys. The comic Tom Papa joined me, and I think we're gonna casually sprinkle in some balls throughout the next from 100 to 200. But today, no balls.
That you can see.
Beth, how is the festival? How are you doing? Thank you for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Erin.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah, because I hail from Ohio.
Yes,
I've had a lot of Ghosts of Christmas Past show up to a lot of the shows.
Uh-oh.
And some high school friends and enemies, quite frankly, parked themselves right in the front row and didn't laugh.
Wow.
That didn't happen. But that would have been
amazing if your nemesis was in the front row and they're like, fuck you, Beth.
It would have hurt me, honestly, if I'm being honest.
Well, I mean, it's everyone's worst case scenario.
It really hurt me.
Or like an ex.
Yeah.
That's the thing about traveling.
I do have those moments, actually. So a couple of times, like in that, I was in the bigger room or the Garden Theater on Thursday. And, yeah, I was telling some jokes. And as they were coming out of my mouth, I was like, his aunt's here.
Oh. You know what I mean? Oh.
Yeah.
And then yeah. Like, whoops.
Yeah. Unless I was, yeah.
Did she clap?
I think she did enjoy herself, but okay. I did have a moment, of pure terror.
It is. It's always like a good idea. Like I grew up in New York, but then I moved to Rhode Island, and I've done a couple shows in Rhode Island, and you're like, yes, going back home, you get to see your friends and family, and then you don't think about it, and you grab the mic, and you look out, and you're like, this is a horrible idea. This is just an absolute nightmare.
They
like
know
my
too
gym
much.
Teacher is there, and you're like, oh, Christ, it's a lot.
Yeah, I think that my principal from high school is coming tonight. This is his last option. Natalie, who helps run the festival, told me that she got a call from my high school principal. And so I actually called it out on Thursday, and everyone, like kids from our high school, were like, wait, is he here? As everybody starts like looking around.
Yeah.
He wasn't there Thursday that I know of. He wasn't there here in this room last night. I feel like I would have seen him.
It sounds like he's a real creeper. No, he's all right.
He's just like really supportive, and I think he just went through a divorce, and he's looking to start something new. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. That's not creepy at all. Okay, Kelly, how are you with the Cincinnati Reds jersey? Boom.
Like, I feel really regretful that I'm wearing this right now.
Why?
I don't know.
It's
it was
strong.
Like 100 degrees outside. I was walking down the street up and down. Everybody was giving me strange looks like, it's not even a thing here. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you mean it's not even a thing? Like, it's like you're...
It's like a very hip neighborhood, and they're probably like, sports person. Yeah, I don't know.
I have battled with the jersey, wearing a jersey my entire life. And I one of the first episodes I did with Rebecca Corey, the title of the episode is Bury Me in My Jersey, because I'm a gay lady, and I always think when I put a jersey on, like, I'm so gay. Like, it's so, like, it's just like you just feel like, all right, I'm on the team, you know? Like, like, and I get, like, so self-conscious, but all I want to do is wear jerseys, obviously, 24 hours a day.
It's just like the
you know?
Opposite of a jersey. Like, I got this at Victoria's Secret, and they're like, we're doing the sportswear thing so you can hang out with your boyfriend and not feel awkward.
All right, well, that's horrible.
It's the worst. It says pink on the sleeve right here. Like, this is the worst thing.
I can't believe you just said that out loud on a sports podcast.
And she goes, and it was $69. It probably was $69.
Yeah. I had to take the rhinestones off for some street cred. Like, no, that's not
what
true.
What is happening?
That's not true, but.
Oh, I was going to say that was brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to take those rhinestones off.
There's no rhinestones.
Yeah, I will say.
There's a stain on it. Does that give me any more cred?
You do look great in it. You absolutely look great.
You look very attractive.
But I mean, I will say I don't love jerseys that are catered for women.
Hate them.
At the sports events when the girl's like in her little thing, I'm just like, you don't like it here. You know what I mean? I know that you don't.
They're not even jerseys. They're like tank tops much cleavage with like 10 straps in the back.
When I see a woman with a pink, I'm a Yankees fan, please stay in the room. When I see a woman with a pink Yankees hat on, I don't condone this. I want to punch her in the face.
Yeah.
I literally, like, if even if I had a daughter, if I had like a, even if little kids, little girls with like pink stuff on, I'm like, no, no.
Yeah.
It's not the team color.
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I will say I was watching Deuce Biggie Male Jiggy the other night. And, you know, if you haven't seen that, I would revisit. It holds up. And when he's leaving the very, very tall woman's house, he walks out in the morning after with one of her jerseys on, and it's like floor length.
Kelly, let's get back to this.
Sorry. Oh God.
I do have this moment where, and this is just my own thing, obviously, like honestly, it's just, I always felt like growing up, like I was just like a little boy, you know, I was such a tomboy, and I had two sisters that were like, let's get shoes. And I was like, I'm going to sleep with my softball glove, you know? So obviously these are deep embedded issues that obviously, you know, I've never worked through. Anyway, so, but you're like a petite, straight, super adorable lady. So you could wear anything, really. Like, it looks so, I can't believe this from Victoria's Secret. It just looks great.
I meant every
word.
All
my jerseys that are, like, real jerseys, like, they always get traded, like, as soon as I buy the thing. And people are like, oh, cool Sam LaCroix. He's not even a thing anymore. And
yeah.
I always feel like, oh, you guys know that I got this, like, 6 years ago and can't afford to get another one. I don't know.
It is, though, like, super street cred, though, when you've got, like, a jersey, like, a name of a player that, you know, played 10 years ago. I always love that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like a baseball card.
Yeah, like a
That was the end of my sentence.
Did you guys collect baseball or football cards?
I had a Barry Larkin card for
nice.
A very long time, and I don't know where it is now.
Oh, my God, you have to find it.
I know, I do. I remember my friend trying to trade it for a shitload of Pogs back in the day. That's how far back in the day you
Wait, know, what's
it was.
A Pog?
Pogs are like little...
Is this a Midwest... Is Pogs a Midwest thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about, so I think so.
Basically, they're little round
Let's talk about
pieces
sports
or
guys,
plastic
Pogs.
Pieces. And then, you know, you would put them in a pile. And with a slammer, which is like a heavier Pog, like a thicker maybe plastic or metal, you hit down on them, and whatever one's turned over, you get to keep. Then you could lose a Pog, a couple of Pogs.
Is this a board game?
You know, basically you
it's
just collect them.
It's a game for when
them.
You're bored, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's under the category of game.
It's almost like... No, it's
like
not.
I feel like Pokemon was like a thing, like a cult thing. Yeah, I remember all the little boys in my neighborhood had them, and they would like save up to get like a really cool Pog with like some kind of.
Is it POG?
POG,
yeah.
Which is also pineapple orange guava, which is a delicious juice. It's popular in Hawaii.
Let's talk about the Reds.
I collect Garbage Pail Kids. I collected Garbage Pail Kids cards. I wanted to answer.
I collected a lot of baseball cards. They're still under my bed. I'm not going to lie.
I did, I think, at one point in time, but mine were all garbage.
Garbage Pail Kids?
Garbage Pail Kids. I just think I had bad ones, you know, ones that were worth nothing.
I
don't
think I was like...
I'm still trying to figure out what a fucking Pog is.
Yeah.
We'll go
it's
get
almost
some.
Like a poker chip.
Yeah. But like,
but then,
made out of paper.
It's and just based on your enthusiasm, it seems like the world's worst game you could possibly play.
I got into it for a minute.
I never got into it. It was one of those things. Just
I did. I think I did.
People from Ohio,
I'm sure
just
if we
their
go
own
to that comic
breed.
Book store down the street, they probably have some.
I also collected Trolls and.
Oh, I love Trolls. I love.
Anyway,
Gabe,
that's our show. Thank you guys so much for.
And Beanie Babies as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to end this segment on horrible games you could play as a child. Kelly, you actually worked for the Cincinnati Reds from 2006 to 2010.
I did.
I also pulled up, of course, all the stats from those years because I have a problem.
We did.
But no, I want you to tell a story about exactly what you did for the Reds, and then I've got some stats to back it up.
Cool. So what I did, they were called the Cincinnati Reds Rally Pack, and if you've ever been to a game, they're the ones who go onto the dugout and shoot the t-shirt gun and kind of get everybody riled up, and we use a slingshot, we do in-game promotions, we'll like pick a row every game and give them pizza or something, or balloons, just basically crazy fans that will get everybody excited. They also used to have a cheerleading team, the Cincinnati Reds did, they were called like the Mountain Dew Crew, and...
So embarrassing.
We were the Pepsi Reds Rally Pack. Then they moved to John Morrell Reds Rally Pack when we were ending. So now they're like the Scott's Green Rally Pack. So like we can't keep a sponsor. We're the worst. But they always keep us on there. And then they had the dancers, which were just cheerleaders, pom-pom skirts, like the whole nine yards.
Dancers?
Dancers. They had, like, they were legit cheerleaders. Like, they bought them gym memberships. Like, they were, like, NFL cheerleaders.
Wait, where did they cheer?
On the dugouts.
On top of the dugouts. Mm-hmm. And
in
they did
innings, yeah.
But they were called dancers, not cheerleaders? I just love to dance. I have a bad back,
though.
They
were Mountain Dew crew.
When
so.
You're sliding in the first. I made up this one the other day. When you're sliding into home and you dated a piece of shit, diarrhea. It's just what I've been going through lately, though.
I think we should try out for these dancers. I want to be a Cincinnati Reds dancer.
When I told people I worked for the Cincinnati Reds and I was a girl, they would always be like, "Oh, you're one of the cheerleaders." Oh, and they bring their little tiny daughter. Oh, she's a cheer. And I hated to be like, "No, the ones in the shorts with the dudes, the sweaty guys." And
you're like, I operate a t-shirt.
Yeah,
gun.
Exactly. So I didn't realize, I didn't know if it was more street cred or less.
Do you have to go to the shooting range for that?
They had to. They brought us up to certify us. We had to get certified every year.
You had to get certified to shoot out t-shirts?
You could hurt someone.
You realize I've hit someone with it before, and they like called and complained because he wasn't paying attention. I hit some man holding his nachos walking down the steps. The t-shirt hit him. I was like, "You're welcome." He was like,
"That's like a target. That's amazing."
Yeah, yeah. Like you know, like you've seen like the people with the baby in their hand reach out for a foul ball. Like you should see them with a freaking t-shirt. Like the kid's on the floor. They've dropped that already. Like
they need the tee.
People go crazy over t-shirts.
I would have like you know they should give. I would love a t-shirt gun for like the beach to like shoot my clothes back to the beach. Wear as many clothes as I can into the water and then shoot them back to the beach.
How do you get them back to you, though? You're going to have to emerge somehow.
I'd like a shooting gun while I'm doing stand-up to take out half the crowd.
Yeah, true. They'd probably be like...
While they're on their phones, and I say it 790 times, and then I scream out, "This is the downfall of humanity!" And then, boom, shoot them in the face with a t-shirt that says, "You're a fucker."
Yeah.
And then everybody else will be riled up, though.
And then they open the shirt and it said, "I wasn't paying attention at your involvement."
Yes. It is It is the one thing that absolutely drives me insane.
Half million of that.
Or people at sporting events where they like get out their entire laptop and they're taking photos from, and you're like, just look up and enjoy
the present,
the moment. Otherwise, you're going to get hit with a t-shirt from Kelly anyway. At some point in time.
Well, we also had a slingshot, and I was the one who would always do the slingshot because I could aim. And then somebody would walk around with like a basketball hoop on their head, which nothing to do with baseball at all. But people would like we'd toss little Nerf balls, and they would toss them back. And if they got in the hoop, like we sometimes would give you a t-shirt if you were super enthusiastic, or we had pom poms that we gave out. But basically, we'd have a bunch of loot that we'd give out. So then people would always be approaching us, even when we weren't giving out stuff, being like, what kind of stuff you got in that bag? You know?
Heroin.
Please back up, yeah. And then, people got progressively drunk throughout the day and just
wanted more stuff.
More importantly, did you get to meet the players or go inside the dugout?
We got to meet a lot of players. There's Reds Fest every year, but also there is, I don't know if you know this, there's a daycare inside of the Red Stadium as well where the players will go drop their kids off, and it was always right across from the Reds Rally Pack room. So people would go visit their kids, and they'd be across from our room, and we'd be yelling profanities and just playing the knockout nuts game. Or we do this game where we like turn the lights off and just throw balls at each other, and we're like, whoever gets hit in the face, you're a fucking idiot. So we'd be doing that.
This is the greatest game in high school ever. Like in that when women were changing, I would turn out the lights and take a broom to the floor, like the really long broom up and down the changing aisles. And
is this an Ohio thing just to like beat the crap out of each other in a dark space?
We don't have a whole lot of things to do. Yeah, so
that was so fun. I'm just remembering that.
The most important player, well, not most important. When I was applying for scholarships in high school, let me brag a little bit. When I was applying for scholarships to college, I got the Johnny Bench scholarship. I was super excited about it. I remember when they gave it to me, they're like, "Do you know who Johnny Bench is?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, "Well, you're pretty shitty if you don't know that, because he's like the best Reds catcher of all time." And then I think my third opening day parade, he was the grand commissioner, and he came by in his limo, and I, like, ran up to the limo and, like, whispered in the car. I was like, if it's Johnny Bench in there, you're the greatest. And he, like, rolled down the window and gave me, like, a Godfather back of the hand wave. Like, I recognize your loyalty or something like that. So.
I recognize your loyalty.
He was, like, doing this. Like, yes, you may kiss my ring or
what
whatever.
What is this?
I don't know, but this is what he did. But then he got out, and then the rest of the rally pack decided to, like, bum rush him for a picture. And I was, like, on the end of the picture, like, not even, like, where you could, like, obviously if I was going to make it my profile picture of me and Johnny Bench, I wouldn't be in it. That's how far out I was. But I was still super excited. I shook his hand.
Was this pre-scholarship or post?
It was post. And I was like, thank you for my scholarship. And he's just like, what? Like,
he's like, I don't pick those.
Like, exactly. He didn't. Like,
but I heard when you applied, you didn't know who I was.
So, Johnny Bench, well, yeah, Johnny Bench is, well, the hugest deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he's
like the Pete Rose of the people who are allowed to come back to the games.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd hear.
For all you sports, for you people non-sports fans. Just kidding.
There are, you know, I was just doing some nerdy research on the Cincinnati Reds, and, you know, you remember, obviously, Rose Bench, Barry Lark, and Joe Morgan, mm-hmm. Dave Concepcion, if for real nerds like myself. I did not know this one. Of course, he was born in the 19th century. Noodles Hahn. There is a Cincinnati Reds pitcher named Noodles Hahn. And he debuted on April 18th, 1899. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that the greatest baseball name ever?
I think
Noodles.
Now pitching Noodles Hahn.
I think Corky Miller is a pretty good baseball name, too. He's like the catcher that we have. Is it Miller? Corky Miller?
I love a Corky.
Okay.
Corky?
Yeah. And he's got this huge Fu Manchu mustache, like the greatest mustache ever. Like, he's a cartoon
Is that
character.
His birth name, or did something go horribly awry in the seventh grade?
I want to say
Corky.
I've blocked out all Cincinnati Reds catchers because this is the first year I've been playing fantasy baseball, which if you're, let's say, like, you're hanging out with your friends, men, women, whatever, and someone's like, hey, you should play fantasy baseball. You should look them in the eye and go, we were never friends. Because it takes over your life. It has taken over my life. I am the only woman, I talk about this pretty much for the last 60 podcasts, but the good news, I'm now fifth in a league of 12, which is good because, and yeah, I'm the only woman in the league where the Rock, my team name is the Rockford Peaches.
Yes.
And if you don't know that, you should. And so, yeah, but it's my fourth or fifth pick in the draft. Basically, I'm an expansion team, and it was like a keeper league, so all these dudes got to keep like three of their best players. So mm-hmm. I didn't really know the categories. Anyway, you can get three different pickups per week, right? So I've had to pick up all these random players and whatever. I mean, listen, I guess what I'm trying to say is, should I get manager of the year? Yeah, I probably should because. Yeah. I've chosen well.
How long MVP for, you know?
But Devin Mesoraco was the starting catcher for the Reds, and I nabbed him, and it was and the commissioner of the league was like, you should. He literally emailed me. He was like, that's a good pick, and I was like, yes. And he shit the bed. He never played a game. His hip fell out, I think, just walking. And
just walking.
He never played. Never played. So the Reds are kind of dead to me. But it's okay.
I'll give him a shitty book this year.
Yeah.
So at Reds Fest every year, we get to MC. I get to MC. I'm inviting everybody to come with me.
I'll be there.
And they have we do player story time, and we give them these insane children's books to read to the kids with words that they can't pronounce.
Oh,
and we
no.
just laugh. Just watch them read to kids.
Oh, no. Go over the buzzwords or something. Go over the words with them maybe. Beforehand.
I just think it's funny to watch.
Wait.
Okay. Can we cut that part out?
Wait. So these you're saying professional Reds players read to children,
yeah.
And do they have trouble with the words, or is it the kids that have trouble with the words?
We'll make them read like really idiotic books. Like one's called like Froggy Goes to Play Baseball or something, and like the whole time. They're like describing all these foods that he gets at the baseball game. They're like, and fly relish and all these. I feel like this is not interesting.
No,
I'm getting.
I'm just so excited that I, you know, as like an insane baseball fan, like the fact that you can be in a stadium, like your hometown, like I grew up in New York, and like if I was in Yankee Stadium, preferably the old stadium, the new ones. But if I was in Yankee Stadium, just like hanging around by the dugout, shooting t-shirts out, I would just be like, I would have a, like, that's like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
To be on the field, to be like, everyone's like, Aaron, like, what are your goals in comedy? And I was like, to play catch with Derek Jeter. That's my goal. And they're like, Carnegie Hall. I was like, I don't give a shit. I want to play. I want to be at a level where people are like, hey, Derek, do you want to play catch with Foley? Yes. And he'll be like, yes. And I'll be like, yes. Do you want to catch a ball from Eli Manning? Yes.
The closest.
I just remembered it was Peyton. But I was at the 500th touchdown game.
Well, let's talk about that immediately.
The Broncos game. I was there. That was in what, a couple months ago or something? I have no concept of time, but I was in Denver whenever it happened.
Wait, did you go to, you
Hold
went
on,
to?
When was that? And where did I come from? Portland? Must have been there for All Jane, No Dick or something.
Oh, yeah? That's comedy a comedy festival, people, if you've never heard of it. Yeah.
Yes.
It isn't just a weekend
so
where it's All Jane, No Dick.
Is it October? Has it almost been a year?
What you're saying, when he threw.
I lost track of what
500th.
We're talking about.
He went past 500, actually. He broke the record and then did a few extra.
Is this a Manning that we're talking about?
Peyton.
Okay. This is Peyton, yes.
And then
Eli's brother.
Somebody rode out on a horse. And there was a flag.
Wait, so you were there at the Broncos game when
close.
He broke the record?
Yeah, I was very close, yeah.
Very, very close to the stadium or inside the stadium?
Inside the stadium.
That's amazing.
A couple rows back. Yeah, I saw there was like fireworks and everybody was freaking out and I ate a pizza.
Are you a Broncos fan?
No, I was just there because I was asked to do a podcast, a secret podcast inside the game while that happened.
Well, you guys have these amazing sports experiences. Yeah. Will you please tell me about that?
We were supposed to just try to do a podcast during the whole point of it was to do a podcast while chaos was going on around us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, us too.
It was difficult. It was difficult, but to keep the podcast going when everyone's just like, is this it? And then down. Like, is this going to
Oh, wait, but the podcast surrounded about...
There were
like,
cameras.
Was...
We snuck cameras in as well.
Can you give me more information?
Sure.
What was the name of the podcast?
I feel like I'm getting just like...
It was...
We drove in a Subaru. how... I think I was wearing a lime green t-shirt.
Tell me
everything about this experience.
Yeah. Mine is the women's version of that story. You're like, I don't give a shit about those details. I'm trying to think what I was.
Tell us what you wore.
Okay, why were you in the? You were in the stadium specifically to record a podcast about his record breaking.
It was sort of like a little. It was experimental, but yeah, it was a project with Lance Bangs. And he wanted to.
I thought she said Lance Bass. I got super excited.
I love Lance Bass.
I don't even know if Lance Bass likes the Broncos.
I'm sure.
I'm so confused. I'm still so confused. So you were in the stadium recording a podcast just about Peyton throwing the 500th.
It was actually supposed to be about our time in sports and just connecting with I did it with another comic, a Denver comic named Jordan Dahl.
Okay.
Yeah, he's funny. It was supposed to be Ian Carmel, but he missed his flight.
Okay. But more importantly...
these are all industry secrets.
You were recording a podcast in Broncos Stadium.
Yeah, I guess it was really more of a pilot. There were videos, but we had mics on, too. I had one beer, but I have no...
Just from a sports perspective... Like, that's so exciting. That's like a historic game.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd have a little different approach. I would have just been like, F these mics. Like, I don't, like, you know what it is? It's like when I attend sporting events, like, that would have been really hard because you're trying to, like, take in the moment, but As an insane sports fan, I would just be like, no one talk to me. I want to see the play develop.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see where the receivers are going. I would just be like,
I think after a while, I was just like, I was ready for it to happen. I was just kind of like, is this it?
Everybody who went to that game probably knew it was going to happen that game, right? Yeah.
They had bought tickets for a couple leading up because it was getting close.
Yeah.
And so in the pilot.
Who did we play? I guess it was the Giants. I think it was the San Francisco Giants. Is that a thing?
Yep. Those are people.
I think Beth is here to give me a coronary.
Thanks, Trina.
They are in fact a thing. It is a baseball team. It's a baseball team from San Francisco.
It would be
the 49ers that they played. I have a fact checker, Carol.
Carol?
And I usually scream out the entire time during an episode. I go, Carol, get off the couch, because she's constantly hammered, but she didn't make this trip because I said U.S. Air leaving LAX at 7:30, and she didn't make the flight. So, she was actually sober for about 7 episodes, but now she's back on the wagon. I never remember, is it back on the wagon or like falling off the wagon? Does anybody always obsess over? I'm always just like, all right, like if you're, never mind. Okay, so you were there. It's one of these things where, as a crazy sports fan, like, you know, when people go, hey, let's go to a baseball game, and then they sit next to you and they're just like, they tell you like about their life, and you're like, please stop talking.
Right.
You know, we got 3.5 hours to focus.
We only have 3.5 hours.
I hate chatty Cathy's. Whenever it's gotten so bad now, we're like, for instance, next Sunday, I don't want to brag, it's my birthday. Yay! Sunday.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
Thank you. The New York Giants are playing the Dallas Cowboys. I'm a raging New York Giants fan. And I want to have people, I don't watch sports in public because I get crazy. So, especially New York Giants, because I have to concentrate, I have to sit in the same seat. I have specific clothes that I wear when I watch the Giants.
Yeah.
And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, but it's my birthday. So it's like a real conundrum. And I have a really good friends that are big time Cowboys fans, but they're fantastic people. It's weird that could be the same thing. But I'm like, all right, maybe do I open it up and calm down and just have people over and watch the Giants and Cowboys? I don't know.
Set the ground rules. Be like, there's no talking to Aaron between this time and this time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah, it's like trying to watch the finale of Friends. You know, and everybody was talking. It's like, I just want, you know, everybody be quiet.
That was high pressure. Yeah. That was the finale of Friends was high pressure.
What's
going to happen?
And it was not that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It was just a couple years ago. Let's go back to football in Ohio. I was talking about and I know, by the way, for all our Columbus, clap if you're from Columbus in here in the room today. Okay, a couple, just a couple. We've got a lot of visitors. We've got a lot of wonderful comics that are supporting this podcast.
And
I do appreciate it.
Best principals here.
Best principals here. Well, you know, when I discovered the fun thing about traveling and then even just prepping for this podcast with two native Ohioans is you get to know, like, sort of locally. I know everybody is obsessed with the Ohio State Buckeyes. It is Buckeyes, right? Yeah. And they're quarterback, sure. That's the word. Why
He's
not?
The big buck.
It's German. They're both German. Controversy. But I discovered the Columbus Clippers, which are a Triple-A team, right here in Columbus. It's so exciting. And I went to go on the website to see if I could see a game, but they're playing away. They're playing home tomorrow against Toledo. So go see them. But it is a Triple-A baseball team. I thought that was really exciting. The whole point of this was like, I wanted to ask you, is there this, you know, competitive nature between the Reds and the Indians? But okay, there is. Oh, I love it.
She's like,
I love
talking to these girls that don't know anything about sports. I'll tell you the truth.
Wait, so there is. We're going to... The Indians. So you're an Indians fan.
Get out of here.
Well, the thing is, like, in Columbus, it's a AAA team for the Indians, you know? So I thought, oh, maybe, like, that is sort of where they lean towards. All right, so you're an Indian. By the way, I don't know if you can pick up the volume in the crowd, but a fantastic guest just shouted out Indians. I would have to go for the Indians just literally based on Major League. I mean, it was like one of the world. I mean, if you're on the fence, you got to go with the Indians just based on that movie. By the way, it does hold up. I was on a flight, like an 18-hour flight from God knows where, and I watched Major League again. I think I watched it probably every month, and I'm like, this is the greatest movie ever. It's just,
is Charlie Sheen in that?
Charlie Sheen is the Wild Thing, yes. He did a guest spot on the Friends finale.
Now we're talking.
Now, I feel like if we're going baseball movies, it's A League of Their Own, and then there's Sandlot. And there's that one where that kid breaks his arm, and then he can throw, and then he's the pitcher for the Twins.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year.
Because that taught you all the important chants that you learn. Growing up.
It was like a weird throw that he made after he broke
And at the
arm.
End, he floats it because his mom was the pitcher. The hero of the movie is the female athlete. You
Yay!
Guys.
Well, just us.
No one else cared.
That was weird. Everyone's like, do women play sports? Are they allowed? Yeah, no, I'd say A League of Their Own. I'd also put The Natural up there. That was one of my alt. It's The Natural is so great. It's like you.
Is that Kevin Costner?
No, it's Robert Redford and Glenn Close. The Natural is so. You know who did a guest spot is Ross. Ross from Friends did a guest spot.
Okay.
But then. The Natural is such an interesting movie because it's like this sort of epic baseball story. Then all of a sudden it's like there's a shooting with like a silver bullet and you're like, what the hell is happening? It's like the screenwriter was just like, just going along totally fine. Then he's like, I'm going to do a hit of acid. And then kind of rewrote. It's just kind of this bizarre. But in the end, just, you know, the sports movies are the best because you just sob. You're just sobbing.
Yeah, I mean, so many sports movies I loved.
Yeah. But Friends. Major League.
I cried at Moneyball. But
remember the Titans was excellent.
Oh, yeah,
there's a real feel good.
It is feel good. They're
I
all feel
remember
good.
The Titans is like Brian's song, like all over again, right?
Oh God, Brian. We don't have to mention Brian's song. That's like the most depressing.
Let's just go back there.
I thought you were talking about the Blink 182 song.
I think that's Adam's song. Also depressing.
How's that one go?
Hello, thank you for immediately cheering up that moment.
I'm so sorry.
What's my age again?
Who greenlit Blink 182?
I love them. I think that was one of my first concerts.
Was like,
no,
this is
Amy Grant was my first concert.
Oh my God. Amy,
Spice Girls.
I fell
Spice
asleep.
Girls. Wow.
So
I love the Spice. Yeah.
I loved the Spice Girls.
Amy Grant. Wasn't Amy Grant totally fine until she was like, wow, there's a God and he writes all my lyrics?
That absolutely may have happened.
It did. She got super Christian real fast.
What did she say?
I think when her career started tanking.
Oh, right.
She she's like, wait, what just happened? Yes, I found the Lord and we're going to do
for
Christian
money,
music.
And here we are.
Yeah. It is Christian. Listen, if you listen to Christian, knock yourself out. It's not a disparaging comment at all. It's just one of those things where you're on the road all the time, and all of a sudden, like you hit the radio, and you're like jamming out. Then it's like, and then Christ, and you're like, oh damn it!
Always.
You get sucked in, and it's like a good beat. It's so sneaky.
They'll get you.
Pamphlets.
Aaron, are you a boxing fan?
I like boxing. You know what I've gotten into? I like some boxing. I got into boxing in the Olympics years and years ago with Oscar De La Hoya because I'm a sucker for like a story, and his mom died and he was fighting every match for his mom. And my mom and I were like Foley family, huge into the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And so we would watch every single match and just like cry basically. And that's how I got into boxing. But now with like Mayweather, like he's such a disgusting piece of shit that I don't, but I did start getting into UFC because of Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
I mean, Rousey.
Yeah.
I just want to hang out with Ronda Rousey. Like, you have these things of just like, I want to get hammered with Ronda Rousey. She would be so fun.
She'd be on the table with like two bottles of alcohol, and then she's like, we're all going outside, and we're going to flip a car over. And everybody would be like, you can use my car. Like,
yes, Kelly. Yes.
Everybody's such a fan. She's great. But I feel like boxing is one of those sports because it's one fighter, one singular person. You can get their entire backstory, and you learn all about them, 30 for 30, all the things.
Yeah.
And we have the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville. I've seen Cinderella. Like, everybody, you know their backstory, so you know what they're fighting for at every fight. So when they go up against each other, like, everybody has, oh, I want him to win because of this, and I want him to win because of this. Yes. They all overcame someone. Even Mayweather, as a piece of crap he is, he does have a pretty interesting story. They all do. So that's why I like boxing. Well,
I've missed the interesting part of his story.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
You get to know their backstory, and you want their plate to win. Yeah.
It's like sometimes when you're watching boxing, you're like, is this a quick fire challenge?
I'm sure he has something interesting about his backstory. No. I just think he's so disgusting. It just, like, it's hard. And we were talking about this earlier.
I don't want him to win at all.
It's so hard when I love sports so much, and you love these athletes, and you guys too. It's like you love these athletes, and then you almost don't want to hear anything about their lives, about their opinions, about like it's soul crushing. You get so excited about these teams, and then they'll grab the mic and say something, and you're like, oh. Fuck! Like, you just,
it's
it's getting worse. It's getting worse because I don't think any athlete's behavior has changed. I just think now social media, it's reported, and there's, video and tweeting, and I saw this and I heard that. And now it's unfortunate because, now I don't want to know. Like, I would rather be almost naive because I don't, it just feels like you get your heart broken constantly.
Oh, I want to know because I want to, I don't know. I just feel like there's such a reward system for athletes as it is that when I do know that stuff, I don't know. I want to know that there's a justice system going along with it too.
Yeah.
So I feel like sweeping everything under the table, I'd rather know everything and then make my opinion.
And then voice it
like a loud bitch that I am about everything that I don't like about this player, that player, that, or that organization. I don't know.
No, I completely agree with you. It's
opinions
tough.
Opinions or private things like, I could see you not wanting to know. However, when it comes to them, breaking the law.
Oh God, of course. I just mean
like you don't want to know if Babe Ruth was a huge racist because it's going to.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like you just want these athletes, female and male, to behave appropriately, just to be good role models. I think it's one of those annoying things too when they go, I'm a professional athlete, I'm not a role model. You are. You are, in fact, a role model. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get all this money and all this glory.
You're being paid far too much.
I know. It's disgusting. It's crazy. And you were saying that growing up, the Bengals had some bad behavior, became a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah. I just felt like, okay, so I watch, is it called Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
On HBO. So I remember continuously growing, not like growing up, but like the Bengals had, we have a lot of DUIs, we have a lot of spousal abuse, we have, Chris Henry died, and I think that was a domestic violence situation or leading to it when he died, and I know, so Chad Johnson got kicked off the Dolphins, I saw in Hard Knocks, for his domestic violence, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, so these coaches do have the ability to look at a player's, not only reputation, but how their character is, and how they, carry themselves, and make a decision based on that. Why are the Bengals still having all these players that were having all these issues? So it kind of made me lose a little respect. I'd go to Baltimore every 3 weeks or so, and that was right when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and the whole city was rooting around, and just everybody was so pro-Ravens, and I really liked the team at the time. And I was like, I'm a Ravens fan. I would go to the Bengals games with my Ravens stuff on, get heckled.
Holy, that's... Wow.
Like, I was legit Ravens fan. And then the whole Ray Rice thing happened. And I was just like, God damn it, I can't have anything.
Yeah.
This is where we... I was just like...
Keep your hands to yourself, everybody.
I got all my Ray Rice jerseys from Victoria's Secret. Now I'm I was just so disappointed in myself. I had to burn them in effigy.
I just picked off the last rinds.
I just don't know... At what point, it's like, do you keep being a fan of them as a sportsman and not as a person? Like, do you have to differentiate? Like, am I wearing my jersey? Like, yeah, I don't like him either, but you know.
He's got 7.5 yards per carry.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Do I got to memorize the stats to give off to people?
Yeah, yeah, no, I think I think it's very difficult. It's difficult. I do think as a woman wearing a Ray Rice jersey to a game, shoot yourself. Yeah. I find it disgusting. I think it's despicable. Mm-hmm. There's so many other players you could put a jersey on, and if I see a woman wearing a Ray Wright jersey, like, I run away, basically, from confrontation. I sprint. I can smell it, and I run the other direction, but I would have to say something. I think it's just, woman or man, but especially, like, a woman, you're just like, it's how I feel about female Republicans. I'm like, really? Really? Really?
I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fiscal Republican. I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
I totally get it. You're like,
no, it just
quit hitting yourself.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah. They're like, I can't wait to get to Washington, D.C. and make a change. I'm like, for less money per hour? All right. Okay. Just if you have thought of that. But yeah, there's for every horrible story, there's 15 good stories, but they just focus on the negative. And I just think there are a lot of fantastic athletes with stellar reputations. Buy their jersey. Don't, like, you know, creep out with a Ray Rice or a Greg Hardy. Or I also don't wear. I'm going to get so much crap for this, but I know Tom Brady. Okay, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but I feel like how many stories has to come out of that camp for the old, if there's smoke, there's fire. Like, if I ever met him, I would just go, that's the air coming out of your career.
Because you're a snake.
I hope Giselle's a nightmare.
It's a deflated football, right?
I understand the balls. I feel like I would want to lose a few pounds, too, if I thought that Tom Brady was going to toss me around. That was in my back pocket for so long.
I do. That's the only thing I could think of, because he wins all the time and everything's perfect. I just want Giselle wake up every morning and be like, and these kids to be like just crapping all over the house. I want something. It's just like it's too perfect.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
I bet she farts like really loud.
I bet she's horrible. I bet she's like, someone chew my food before I eat it.
I bet.
I don't know why I just said that.
I bet before you said that, you go, I bet she's old. I was like,
no, she's okay. Hot. That's what she is.
She is very attractive, and the kids.
Oh, she is really attractive. I'm sure.
A lot of press was spent on the Deflategate, and I feel like.
So much. There's so much attention.
Yeah, and they're like, it takes away from the integrity of the game. And I was like, oh, no, that was barely hanging on as it was. Like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't
what
think
integrity?
A couple of deflated balls
yeah, this is, the least
is
of
gonna
my
really
worries.
Take my attention off Can all we, the let, other
let's
stuff.
Let's just do the quote here. Yeah. Tom Brady, okay, of course, his suspension is lifted. I thought that would happen. And he, the first, his comments he posted on Facebook, douche. Who uses Facebook? Anyway, as a professional athlete, your first comments are on. It's just weird. Yeah. It's like, I just put my comments on Instagram. Anyway. He said, "Well, I'm pleased to be eligible to play. I'm sorry our league had to endure this. I don't think it's been good for our sport to a large degree. We've all lost. I'm sorry to anyone whose feelings I may have hurt as I've tried to work to resolve the situation."
I don't think people's hurt feelings were the issue.
Oh, my God.
Did he still get paid while he was in suspension?
Yeah, he's got more money than God. it's just that, like, curious. We all lost. I was like, well, I think the Colts lost in particular. We've all lost. He makes me insane. He makes me crazy. He drives me crazy.
That's not like a publicist statement. Like, that's something that he probably rewrote and reread to himself like 15 times. He's like, I'm sad.
Yeah. There was a sad face after the paragraph.
There really is so many emojis after that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just, I don't know if you guys remember, but what his initial press conference right when it happened, like 2 days later, it was, if you should just go back and watch it, because it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because clearly he had not worked it out with any publicist before, and he's like, I got this. And he goes up with like full ego, and he's just like, I don't know, it's just like, it's like not a big deal, it's not like it's ISIS. He said ISIS. He said ISIS. He invoked ISIS in a press conference.
It is not like it is ISIS.
I literally was just like, it's almost as bad as ISIS. But yeah, I was like, who drops ISIS at a press conference? He's such a douche.
He could have mentioned it's not as bad as performance-enhancing drugs. It's not as bad as, yeah, like, you know, paying off people. I don't know. There's a lot of other ways to cheat besides deflating a football, but
it's just
still
like everything keeps coming out of New England. It's the city. You know what I mean?
It's just another case of thinking, you know, you're not going to get burned by it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have done it if he didn't think he was above the law.
Yeah.
There's no way he would have gone in there and be like, yeah, I'm just going to do that. It's because there aren't repercussions for a lot of the things they do. And it's true. Deflating a ball is the least of the NFL's worries.
It is the least. And maybe it's not worth four games. I mean, if you beat the shit out of your wife, it's like two. So it's like, if you just kind of play with the ball, maybe like one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, thank you for honestly, or maybe thank none. You for doing that instead of murdering someone.
Yeah. That's what he should have said at his press conference. All right, everybody calm down. I didn't murder Giselle. He's like, do you know what I could have done with these man ass? All I did was let out a little air out of the ball. I could have squeezed her head into a pulp.
He's like, it wasn't a puppy.
That's what it's going to be next. Some like guy on like some football player on meth is like, I'm sorry, I killed six kittens. 8 games. You can't play for 8 games.
I think you just referenced Michael Vick. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mine was Michael Vick reference.
Okay.
Yeah. And kittens are adorable.
I just couldn't remember his name.
Oh. So you said puppies. And right. I was just like,
I should have said puppy mill puppy.
Even sadder. Is that my picture right there? Is that what my email picture is? I have changed that.
It is. It is your email picture.
That is really bad.
I take like copious notes. I'm like, yeah, that is your email picture.
You're dancing with the star shot.
It's me on a swing with a purple backdrop. It's like a glamour shot. It's horrible. What is that?
I like see it very well, but it looks as if like, you know, it looks like a nice publicity shot.
It looks like things are going well on the swing.
Oh, well, God, maybe I'll keep that on there so people will know. I usually use that. I send like really, I have a really bad temper lately, and I've been popping off at the mouth to customer service people, and I'm sure they get that picture, and they're like, oh, this is going to be oh, this girl's a bitch. Oh, look at all the stuff she wrote.
All right, we're nearing the end, so let's do, I want to do this real quick, and then I want to talk about the fact that I was up till 2 in the M. I don't know what's happening to me.
You were up late.
Watching U.S. Open, because I'm... I go from like sport to sport to sport, and I think September is like one of my favorite months out of the year, not just because it's my birthday, because you've U.S. Open, you have, today was a kickoff to NCAA football, which is super fun, college football. Stanford already lost, which I think is exciting. So you've got college football, you've got pros starting out next weekend. In baseball season, because of fantasy baseball, I'm so locked into baseball, which is just super fun and exciting. Also, I think arguably one of the best baseball seasons we've had in forever because of a lot of fantastic rookies that Beth was not talking about earlier. So there's an exciting time in sports. But I do, you guys both have played a couple sports, which I wanted to touch upon. Because they're sports that I played like every sport, but I tried all of these sports and failed miserably because they look on paper. Let's start with Beth with field hockey. It'll sound horrible in the beginning. It'll end really well. Right. I played soccer and it was sort of like, it was just like the soccer obsessed town I grew up in. And so it was just like you play soccer. And then there was our field hockey team. And we'd always be like kind of dismissive of the field hockey team. Then one day in gym, I had to play field hockey. And I was like, this is the hardest sport I've... Like, it is so incredibly skilled and intricate. And you can only shoot it with like... Or
One side.
With one side of the stick. I literally was like, after that, I was like, I have the most respect for field hockey players.
Thank you. Our town was big on soccer too, and it was kind of like, I feel like at first, a lot of people who like didn't make the soccer team, oh, I'll play field hockey. But over time, especially Hannah, my sister sitting over there, she played, and, we all played together. Well, actually, what was I saying?
Field hockey.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the point. It grew in our town in popularity, and actually, we got better and better over time, I think. They never got to go to state, but I was the team captain, and I took my team to state for the first time in 20 years.
Yay!
Thank you.
What position do you play?
I played center mid, and then as time went on, I was center back.
And that's, is center back, what's the difference?
Defense, awesome. Midfield is you're running up and down the field constantly.
Yeah.
And I would go away to my dad's in the summer in Florida and eat a lot, and so... When I came back, I was like, I'll play center back this year. But I did go, Hannah and I, we both went on and we played in college, but I actually just played for the club team because it was division. She loves it when I mess up my words. Sorry. It's funny when people mess up their words. Okay. But I don't know what happened to me in the last 5 minutes, but it's painful. Okay.
Which you played in college.
I think my hangover just hit. Okay, yeah. Yes, I did for the club team. She played for OU. I played for Miami, but we did play each other.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
And we won.
Oh wow,
Miami won. But yeah, okay, yes, and also soccer, you use your feet a lot.
Yeah,
and so it's difficult to transition to hands.
I just honestly. Yeah,
that's
I
why
could
it's so
difficult
for you because I'm very good. I'm my hands.
Yeah,
I mean, so are you, but
In
different ways, but. You know,
I'm a professional. I'm a professional.
The hand motions. That
But
you just did jazz hands, Kelly. You literally just did.
Like,
you know, field hockey with the jazz hands.
Over?
Yeah.
What did you wear?
Yes. It's very. It does get rough, but anyway, it's difficult to. It's difficult for me to play soccer because I'm used to just moving with my feet forward, backward, just running. So when I try to lift up and just play, I can't do it.
I just couldn't understand why you can't use both sides of the stick. It drove me fucking crazy.
Well, one side's curved. And like I can't. I tried to play ice hockey in college and I couldn't. It's
really
difficult. Well, skating in the first place, but then also that it's just like this is how you play. But in field hockey, you have to. Turnover.
And the skirt thing killed me.
I love the skirt.
The skirt thing just...
We wear shorts under them.
Yeah.
They got rowdy.
It's just, I don't know. I've never, like, I like to rock a dress at a wedding. I like my jeans. A skirt just makes me feel like a drag queen.
It's really a kilt is what it is.
It is. And it's like a mini... It feels just awkward.
It's a tradition.
As a lady who likes ladies. Yeah, anyway, Kelly...
It's just a part of history is all.
Kelly, you were hurdles.
Yeah. So I played soccer, too. I think Ohio is just, like, a really big soccer town, which that's, I mean, it's a state. Also, our towns are kind of close. I went to Nashville during the World Cup, and, like, everybody was, I was like, can you put the soccer game on? They're like, nice try.
Really?
No, like, yeah, they were just like, soccer, no. And I guess it's, like, an Ohio thing. But yeah, I so in
wait, you were in Nashville and you asked the Women's World Cup. I'm assuming this summer
and men's,
and they wouldn't
both there.
They wouldn't well, just the women's. I mean, this summer was just women's, but they wouldn't put the game on.
I mean, like they're just like
who they're like who cares?
Does anybody else? You're like
They
gotta get like majority support.
I'll
like,
never go to Nashville ever again.
Yeah, so
supporting women's soccer, are they out of their mind?
But in middle school, I was on the track team, and I used to run distance. And then one day, I showed up late, and they're like, you can work out with the sprinters today. And I was like, okay. And I was keeping up with the sprinters, which was really hard, because I was working really hard, because they're really fast. And then I remember, sorry, that's distracting. I jumped over a hurdle to celebrate something. I don't remember what. And they're like, oh, we don't have anybody who does that. So... So the next track meet, they're like, you're running hurdles. And I was like, oh.
You're like, that was just a celebratory thing.
Oh, I won.
Okay, so. Great.
No, she's like a champion hurdler.
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I was the 2003 Grade Division Jiu-Jitsu champion.
Yes.
It's not a big deal,
look at these.
Guys.
This is a panel of goddamn champions, people.
Just, it's not just one hurdle. It's like...
But then
repeatedly. It's very difficult.
Yeah, the 100-meter hurdles is back to back to back to back. Then you run 300, which is like running a whole lap and then like tripping over. Yeah, it was horrible. And then I went on to regionals and I'd never fallen before and I fell at regionals over the first hurdle because I was trying my damnedest. Yeah, I was going as fast as I had ever gone and I just remember everybody jumping over me and I was like, oh, this is not supposed to be happening right now.
I'm not the hurdle.
Like, yeah, I was like, you know, when you're like on the outside looking in and it was, oh my God, it's the worst thing because I had to get up and like finish the race and you hear that like, like sad applause coming from like
it's
the
like
whole
your mom.
State.
You're just
everybody's
like, oh,
like standing
Christ.
Up, like, oh, yeah. Like she's bleeding, like oh, she's gonna cry, and like I did, like I got past the finish line, I just like dropped to my knees, like the most traumatic junior year experience. It was like I just got like not asked to prom or something. Like I had like what. But you know, like, when people get in, like, motorcycle, it's, like, that road rash.
Yeah,
I had, like, all the way up and down my arms. Like, I remember I went, like, I laid in my gym bag, and it just smelled, like, icy hot. I was, like, trying to zip it up on top of myself. And then I just went
to
disappear.
This is, like, a clip for Agony of Defeat.
I know. I think you I think you want to talk about how great things were going for me. And I was just like, let me just break it down. And then I remember I saw my boyfriend coming across, and it was the only time he'd ever seen me run.
Oh.
And he was, like, walking towards me with a flower. Oh. I know, and I was just like...
That's why you fell.
Probably. I was like, you cursed me. Like, I remember my dad, he didn't want to come into the game because he didn't want to have to pay. And I remember he... He like had,
we're
like,
working out some issues today. We're working it out.
I looked over. I saw him on the outside of the fence, just like let go of the fence and like slowly walk backwards. I was like, this is my life. So I quit track and then started playing softball, which it was horrible. They made me the pinch runner. Like so they're just like, you play track, so we're going to stay you on the bench every game until somebody who hits really... well,
a huge lady gets
huge
on first.
Lady, and then you take over. Try not to break anything.
That's a thing?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, they're like.
Yeah, you get like the. Yeah, I mean.
It was horrible. And I felt bad.
I played softball a long time.
Yeah. But I played club soccer in college. So.
But hurdles, that's one of the events in the Olympics where you watch and you just like, I can barely watch because it's just like, how does this happen? Like they're going 800 miles an hour and then they just, split in the air. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
front leg at 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Front leg straight, back leg 90 degrees. I was so flexible. I was like, oh,
like gymnastics.
Yeah.
I just bent over today and threw my back out. So,
but people watch
no
it
hurdles.
Like NASCAR, like they want to see you fall or like wreck.
I don't.
Or anything like that.
All right, let's talk a little U.S. Open, and we'll get out of here.
I feel like I just brought it down.
No,
sorry,
you did. No,
guys.
No. I mean, you're also like a champion
dad.
Hurler, but
you what? Wait, say it again.
I need to call my dad.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We actually have him in line one. He just apologized. I was up last night. I went to bed at 1:45. You guys were all partying like normal people. I was watching the fifth set of the Nadal Fognini.
I can't believe Nadal is still around.
Well, he just lost last night. Nadal should be playing. I don't know. It's one of these things in sports.
Years-wise, he's been around for a very long time. It's impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, Federer's been around longer, and Federer has this resurgence. I don't know. That guy is, like, unstoppable. He's got, like, two sets of twins, and he's, like, killing it. I can't even imagine.
Pete Sampras.
What'd you say?
I miss Pete Sampras.
Yeah? Were you a Sampras fan?
Yeah.
Okay, well said.
I think I have a picture of him on my phone currently.
I actually was not a Sampras fan at all. I thought he, like, for, you know what it is? He was so good, and it was just one of those things where it was ace after ace after ace, and you're just like, all right, here we go. Here's another ace. And then he was kind of hairy with that body language. Wow, you do have a picture of Pete Sampras on your phone.
Oh, he's cute.
Milk mustache.
But he's, yeah.
I mean, he's amazing. He just wasn't my favorite. There was that match where he threw up and then won, and I was like, all right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Easy, Pete Sampras, throwing up. All right. All right, you can win this one. Mm-hmm. But this match last night was so incredible. I don't know if you guys are tennis fans out there or tennis fans on this panel, but the U.S. Open is doubly exciting this year because Serena Williams is going for the calendar Grand Slam, and she... came back yesterday. It doesn't, like, the greatest thing about Serena is she consistently is now not starting well, and it'll be, like, she'll lose the first set or it'll be really close. And then something clicks over in her, and she's just like,
okay, I'm going to get it done now. And she lost the first set yesterday, won the second set. In the third set, she won 6-love. She just was like, next level. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Maybe she just is the type of person who needs to know that she's about to lose before she wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's that mentality, though.
That fire under your ass.
Yes, fire, yes. It's sort of like when you do stand-up and, like, 8 jokes don't work in a row. You're like, all right, fuck you, people. And just, like, another gear, it's actually, I don't know, 8 jokes. Maybe 3. I'm not sure if you can recover from 8 jokes not working in a row. But, yeah, the level of tennis is unbelievable. The match last night, I was cheering for Nadal, but this Italian dude, it was just unreal. He had, like, 70 winners, and you're sitting there, like, screaming at the television like I do. But I watched Bouchard, Venus match, Djokovic. I watched tennis for like 10 hours yesterday. But here's what I want to say real quick. I just want to get your thoughts on this and then we'll wrap it up. There's because of the weather and the heat and everything, there's been 13 people retire within either like the first set or the second set, which is the highest number of people that have ever retired from a match. And people are getting flack about it. But I read this in the first round against Serena, the player, now I'm blanking on her name. She retired in like within the first couple of games, but she got $39,000 just stepping on the court.
Who
and
did?
Then that's the opening round. If you make it into the US Open and you literally get on the court and just swing once, you're guaranteed it's 39.5 to step on the court. And I thought, I gotta get there.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, like, you just got to get some sort of skill to get
what
on that court.
To the US Open and jump down onto the court?
Maybe.
You get 39?
Like, 39 grand, that could get you out of, you know, several jams. And just go on there, even if it's like goggles, wooden racket style. Just get to the Open and then just be like, I'm horrible. And then collect your paycheck. Like, that would be amazing. I actually can't even remotely play. Then you just start sobbing, and then you're like, my dad, and then my mom, and then you wrap it up.
Your dad doesn't want to pay to get into the U.S. You just see a head jump up like everyone.
Proud of you, honey.
The wall.
Get that money.
Yeah.
39K.
Well, lots of good stuff to cheer for. We end, I myself end every podcast. It's
Peanut
called
crispy.
The... What'd you say?
Nothing.
I didn't hear that, but I'm sure it was wonderful. With a feel-good moment of the week, because the news is always terrible and horrible and god-awful. And so this feel-good moment of the week, when I was watching tennis last night, they cut away. Well, I think I switched on SportsCenter. I don't know, whatever. You know, 30 for 30s, these short films are just amazing on ESPN. And I think this one is also on ESPN, but it's also on Grantland.com, which is a fantastic website. And it was this story I didn't know about, Arthur Ashe, one of the greatest tennis players, obviously, of all time. Also won the first U.S. Open of all time and broke color barriers. He's like the most amazing man, true humanitarian. He is such an interesting story. So this is the feel-good moment of the week is the story between his brother Johnny and Arthur. And it's a 30 for 30. It's called like Arthur and Johnny or something like that, which you can go home and watch. It's like an 11-minute short. But in a nutshell, it's an amazing feel-good story. I was like sobbing when I watched this. I sent the story to you guys.
Emotional.
But in a nutshell, his brother, they were both in the military. Johnny was in Vietnam doing a tour, and because of the loss of family members in World War II, they only sent, for Vietnam, they only would send one family member over at a time, so entire families weren't decimated. So Johnny knew if he didn't do a second tour that Arthur, who was just about to play in the U.S. Open and was getting all these accolades for tennis, would have to go to Vietnam and serve. And so, unbeknownst to Arthur, Johnny served a second term in tour in Vietnam. So Arthur Ashe, I keep saying Arthur, it's a very weird, uncomfortable name.
Arthur.
Now Arthur. So anyway, Arthur played the U.S. Open because Johnny stayed in Vietnam and he won the U.S. Open and went up to this like storied, heralded career. And literally, I have goosebumps. It's an amazing short, and it's an amazing story, and he didn't even know this until practically he was, like, on his deathbed. It's crazy.
It is very touching. And, I was getting ready for this with my sister, and then I wasn't sure if it was, like, a hormonal thing, but I did get a little teary-eyed.
Oh, I mean, you'd have to be broken on the inside not to cry the entire time.
I do a lot of stuff for my sister, nothing like that. I mean, I got her into this for free, but... I would go to work.
It's so close. Yeah, I have a twin sister and an older sister, and
you have a twin?
Yes, I do. Oh, I have a twin.
And
it's amazing to like that story of that sacrifice really was just absolutely incredible. It was an incredible story.
Kelly, where can we find you? Please, website info.
Hiding in a gym bag.
Hiding in a gym bag.
Crying in my locker.
Plug some gigs or wherever people can get more information about you.
I'll be performing with Rain Pryor on September 10th in Cincinnati.
Nice.
And, follow me on Twitter, Kelly Collette. Is that a good plug?
Yes. September 10th in Cincinnati and at Kelly Collette. Yeah.
But...
It wasn't the best plug.
That's okay. That's okay. No, it's totally fine.
I'm still going to find you.
At some point, look up in about 18 months, KellyCollette.com. It should be active. Beth Stelling, where are you playing? Where can people find you?
You can find me at SweetBeth.com. And
oh, that's nice.
That's
you can
real.
Find me at SweetBeth.
You can find Kelly at SweetBeth.com. Me and my Comedy Central special airs on 10/10. Of 2015.
Yes, yeah. October 10th, Comedy Central Woo! Special. That is almost as exciting as a $10 price for Kelly Collette's domain name. let's see. I am going to be finally back in the city of Los Angeles after being on the road for almost 3 months, for 5 sweet weeks.
Wow.
Sports Without Balls is going to do a live taping at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival, which is super exciting. Sunday, September 20th, we've got some great guests, including Jeff Garlin from the Goldbergs and Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to be a guest on the show. He's a huge Chicago Cubs fan, so it's going to be super exciting. A huge thank you to Matt Alano Martin, Natalie Heflin for putting on this amazing festival. Aaron Nadell in the booth. All these sweet comics and audience members for making this podcast just possible. So thank you guys so much for coming out. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Kelly. Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your lives.
Happy birthday, Aaron.